time that we can be in your word here in Jeremiah and pray you would open it to our hearts. And let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 10:23. And last week we saw that Jeremiah was saying that the shepherds have become dull-hearted, that the people that were leading the church, the equivalent of the church, the Jewish nation, had become dull-hearted. They didn't want to listen to the things of God. And today, it's really everybody's following the dictates of their own heart. And in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him, and consumed him, and made his dwelling place desolate. So Jeremiah is just grieving over the already judgments come. Cities within Judah have been destroyed, and he sees that Gentiles are doing that. He just sees that his own people are not listening to the word of God, and he's even saying to himself, he goes, Lord, you know, if I need discipline, do it. Can we all say that? Lord, if I need discipline, if there's something in my life that's contrary to you, and as I watch the judgment coming to the world, I don't just go, wow, look at that wicked world, but then there's still something in us. Jeremiah was saying, do it in me too. Take look at me and do it gently. We like that, right? Don't be angry. kind of like how we were as I said, Dad, I know I deserve this spanking, but don't do it angrily. Then chapter 11, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is a man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so shall you be my people and I will be your God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 27:11. We covered this last night with the teen group because of the recent discovery on Mount Ebal in Israel, the mountain of cursing. And really, this is referring to that. This is, cursed is a man who does not obey everything in the covenant. That goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 27. It goes back to Mount Ebal and the recent archaeological discovery of a lead tablet that goes to the time of Joshua that said, cursing, you know, cursing, 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 you'll die. And what God is saying is, I told you guys, I want you to be my witness people, and I said, just do what I tell you to do. You'll be blessed. You'll be in the land forever. You'll have, you know, it'll be a land flowing with milk and honey forever. Your kings will be on the throne when you have them. At the time, he was the king of the Jews. And just obey me, and you'll be blessed. If you disobey me, you'll be cursed. And right now, Jeremiah is saying, you know, God is saying through Jeremiah, I told you way back then. And this is what he told him in Deuteronomy 27:11, and actually this whole chapter in Deuteronomy 28 are really the whole context. But, and Moses commanded the people on the same day saying, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan. When the Jews went across the Jordan to conquer the land of Canaan, go to Mount Gerizim in the future. And Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin were supposed to go on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. And then verse 13, and these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal and curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So, and we showed a picture last night in our PowerPoint program of a nice picture that shows Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And Mount Ebal has the altar of Joshua, the altar of sacrifice that was also on the mountain of the cursing. So you curse, you sacrifice. You know, if you're going to be in sin, you sacrifice to get right with God. This is before the tabernacle has been made, but this was a special altar that was made that God told them to make. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel. So the Levites, the priestly tribe, while there's tribes, you know, half of the tribes are on Gerizim, half the tribes are on Ebal, and they're just saying out to the people, to all the people, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. Cursed is the one who makes idols. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. And really think about the dynamic. This is, the Jews have gone across the Jordan. They've conquered Jericho. Then they went and trusted in their, and one of the people of the Jews, Achan, stole some stuff from the people of Jericho that he was not supposed to steal. Some gold in a garment and everything. Don't touch any of the cursed things of the pagans. He stole it. The Jews then, on their own, thinking they themselves are the ones that give the victory, they went to Ai with just a few troops because it's not that big of a town. And then they get defeated at first. And then Joshua goes, God, why are we defeated? And God told Joshua, you know, stop moaning. You've got sin in the camp. There's somebody that's brought sin into the camp of Israel. That's why you don't have victory. And then they, by casting of lots, they determine that it's this man Achan. As I always say, Achan for a bruising, because they stoned him. I taught a 9-year-old was at our house, and he was reading the story about, he learned the story of Ai in his Sunday school of a different church. And I go, here's how I can always remember his name, because he couldn't remember the name Achan, and so I taught him, Achan for a bruising, so then he can remember the name. And so then right after that, Joshua goes, okay, God right here in Deuteronomy 27 said, for us to build this altar and go do this, we're going to go do this again. We're going to set this altar up, go to Mount Ebal, go to Gerizim, and we're going to repeat these things to remind us that we have to obey God. And cursed is the one who makes a carbon image. And all the people shall say, Amen. So then the people are sitting there going, wow, God fingered Achan for violating that in a way. And we're going to say, Amen. And yet we know that some of them were going, we know that they weren't saying, Amen. I want to worship idols. And because there was false Jews then, as there's false Christians now. Cursed is the one who treats his father and his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, Amen. And all the parents were looking at their kids at that point and saying, you're saying the Amen, right? Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Go to verse 26. It keeps going down the list of all these things. Cursed are the people that violate God's law and man's treating of man. And then it goes, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say Amen. So basically, they've called a curse upon themselves. Because God knew that they should know that they don't comply with the law of God. And for them to recognize, I'm cursed if I rebel against God, so why rebel? Do fall into sin, what do I want to do? I want to repent. I want to go to the tabernacle. I want to have something sacrificed. I want to get right with God. But in the days of Jeremiah, they had no intention of doing that. No intention of repenting. No intention of even acknowledging that they had sinned. And that's why they're destined for judgment. Going back to Jeremiah 11:3, I want you to go back. I want you Jews to go back and remember how this all started. I brought you out of Egypt. I took you into the promised land. I had the cursings and the blessings, and now you're being cursed, and you haven't even thought to return to God. 11:3, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, curses a man who does not obey all the words of this covenant, which we just read, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all I command you, so shall you be my people and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is to this day. And I answered, and I, Jeremiah, answered and said, so be it, Lord. Jeremiah, yeah. Oh, that they would get back to their oath, so that you can maintain your oath that they stay in this land and they're blessed. But the people didn't want to repent, did they? They didn't listen to Jeremiah. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting them, saying, obey my voice. It really is just like a parent, you know, watching their teenager running amok. And you know you can't make them. But you just exhort, you're destroying your life. Would you just please stop doing drugs? Stop running around with a crowd that hates God and is just going to bring you into destruction. Would you please? And you know, the kid just goes, not going to happen. And that's what God is experiencing with an entire nation of Israel, that he had poured his love and affection and his covenant promises to them and continues those covenant promises to them to this day. But he watches them just destroying their life. And yet they did not obey or incline their ear, verse 8, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, including the curses. I don't want to break out my curse box, but I promised you if you obey this, if you don't, then you're going to be cursed. I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. So this is the title of today, and this was going to be our memory verse last week. So do we want to make this a memory verse? This is memory verse option one. If we get to chapter 12, there's going to be a memory verse option two. So next week we'll do it the same way, that if somebody wants to memorize that, we'll start the service next week with a just a practice session if you want to come and do this. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear. Everyone followed the dictates of their evil heart. Is that kind of what's going on today? What is the only thing that restrains us from doing the dictates of our evil heart? What is it that restrains us? Huh? The Holy Spirit, which is reminding us of what? God's Word. You know, what restrains us is this, the Word of God, which if we don't read it, and again, if the churches don't teach it, if the people aren't encouraged to read it, if it's verboten in the school systems of millions, tens, hundreds of millions, you know, of kids around the world that never hear a word of the Word of God, then they're left to their own heart's dictates. And they're left to their own. And that's why it is so important for us to encourage our children to be into the Word of God. The foolishness of people that say, if you ever hear somebody say, oh, just follow your heart. I mean, I could be a little fleshly here and say, just pull on them and say, what I mean by that is pull the gun on them and say, don't you even think about that. Okay, now I'm going to repent of that and say that, quick to repent of our fleshly dictates of my own heart. But I mean, that's how deadly that statement is. That's like murdering somebody. Just follow your heart. You're saying, no, you got to follow what God's Word says. Jeremiah 11:9, and the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their fathers, really referring to the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Turn to Psalm 2, verse 1. You know, I get accused of being a conspiracy theorist. But you know what? God says that men conspire against God. That's what a people in rebellion to bring destruction, listening to Satan. It's God says, I see a conspiracy. These people, these leaders of Judah are actually conspiring against me to disobey and bring destruction to the nation of Israel. Well, Psalm 2 prophesies our day. Psalm 2 prophesies the condition of the world in the last days, where it says, "Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together." What is another way of saying taking counsel together? Conspiracy. The rulers of the world are conspiring together against the Lord and against his anointed. Who's the anointed? Jesus. Saying, "Let us break their bonds and pieces and cast away their cords from us." What are the global leaders of the, and see, this is global. All the kings of the world are plotting. They're conspiring together for a last day, saying, "Let us cast off the shackles of God." What are they saying? Cast off his law. Cast off his history. Cast off any knowledge of God. We'll do that through evolution. We'll do that through, you know, removing the word of God from every aspect of society. Completely maligning and slandering anybody that wants to bring up the Bible. In Europe, you can quote a Bible verse and go to jail. In Europe, with the hate speech and everything else that's going on. They've tried to do it here, but it's harder to do it here with our Constitution. That's how they're going to do it. They're conspiring. "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Is God scared that they're going to kick them out of the universe? "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king," yet God says, "I have set my king, Jesus, on my holy hill Zion." Jesus is coming. They might conspire to get rid of God and get rid of his anointed, but God has a different plan. "No, I'm going to bring my wrath to you, and I'm going to bring my anointed, and he's going to rule from Zion." Second coming of Jesus. And so do we have the World Economic Forum conspiring together to try and completely eliminate God from the consciousness of men? Do we have the main guru of the World Economic Forum being Yuval Noah Harari, from a Jew who teaches at Hebrew University, who just disdains and hates the God of the Bible, who is spreading that hatred throughout Israel and throughout the rest of the world through his YouTube interviews and everything else? Is that happening? He is fulfilling Psalm 2 of the book that he denies to be written by God, because he denies that there's a God that he'll answer to. Back to Jeremiah 11:11. So they're conspiring. In Jeremiah's day, the Jews were conspiring against God. In our day, the whole world is conspiring against God. The whole world's conspiring. The Jews were conspiring then, and wrath of God came. And the Jews were defeated by the Babylonians. The whole world is conspiring, and the wrath of the book of Revelation is about to be poured out in this world. 11, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape." The Jews in Jeremiah's day. "And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense. But they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble." Now let's turn to Jeremiah 44:15. I know I'm having you flip around here a little bit. But see, they got so deceived into idolatry that they were actually thinking, as things were getting worse, they were thinking, "Well, I haven't worshipped my idols enough." They weren't thinking, "Oh, I've been violating God's law, worshipping idols, and the wrath of God is coming." They're thinking, "No, we haven't worshipped the Queen of Heaven enough." And so they want to worship the Queen of Heaven more. So anyway, they kept on worshipping idols until judgment came. And this is the history. I've got to increase the history here, the timeline, to get to the background of what we're about to read. And Babylon comes, completely wipes out almost all the Jews, takes a few thousands of them to Babylon that survived, and leaves behind a small group of people. Just for whatever reason, they weren't worth bringing to Babylon, and they weren't worth sparing with a sword and killing. And so these leftovers, they went to Jeremiah and they go, "Wow, Jeremiah, we want to hear from God what to do." And Babylon had left a leader of the Jews to say, hey, you're in charge, you answer to us, you take care of these people we've left behind. But one of the Jewish generals, that working with some people with him, they killed him. They assassinated the person that was in charge, put in charge by Babylon. And they were a little bit afraid that Babylon's going to come and judge him. So they went to Jeremiah and they said, Jeremiah, we want you to go seek God and you tell us what God says, what we're supposed to do. Whatever God says, we'll do. Jeremiah spends a few days seeking God. He comes back and goes, this is what God wants you to do. Just stay here. Do not go to Egypt. You stay here. Babylon will not hunt you down and kill you for killing Gedaliah. He will not kill you for killing Gedaliah. Just stay here. And they go, you know what? We're not going to do that. We told you we'd do it, but we're not going to do it. And so then now they're in Egypt. So now they go to Egypt and Jeremiah goes with them. And then this is the background to Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 15. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burnt incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. We asked you to go hear from God, tell us, and we will do it. And now, because you told us that, we're not going to do it, and we're in Egypt, and you're... And see, Jeremiah must have been saying in Egypt, okay, I've gone with you to Egypt because I'm your prophet. God wants you to go back. Nope, we're not going to do it. We're going to stay in rebellion. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth, relying on your own wicked heart. To burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, we're going to worship this idol. And pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food. We're well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, because the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and all their idols there and everything else. I mean, ever since we stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Now, what was the real reason that they were lacking everything and consumed by famine and the sword? Because they disobeyed the word of God. Can you imagine God and Jeremiah just sitting there? You've got to be kidding me. You're blaming not worshiping idols with the problems you have instead of not obeying God about worshiping idols. And then so Jeremiah answers him, or actually, then the women chime in. Jeremiah 44:19, the women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? Jeremiah, we have our husband's permission to do this. And that, this shows you that idolatry is primarily a female thing. Why? Because Satan deceived Eve first. And they're the ones that brought it in. And you know what? We said, husband, can we worship Mary? Can we have rosary beads? Can we do these things and bow down to this idol and this statue? And can we pray for Mary to do things for us, Queen of Heaven? The Catholics call Mary the Queen of Heaven. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, and your princes, how widespread was idolatry? Top to bottom. And the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come into his mind that he was seeing what you were doing? So the Lord could no longer bear it. Because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed, therefore your land is a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without any inhabitant, as it is this day. Your land back in Jerusalem that you were supposed to stay at is still a desolation because of what you did in your idolatry. Because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, his statutes and in his, or his testimonies. Therefore, this calamity has happened to you as it is this day. It's not because the queen of heaven hasn't had enough of your sacrifices to bless you. It's because you have offended the God of the universe. Back to Jeremiah 11:12. And what God says to them, I go, in the day of trouble, what are you going to do? Cry out to an idol to save you? Yep, that's what they did. They're crying out to idols to save them, which are actually the idols that got them into the trouble. Man, my life is such a mess. I think I'll go out and do some more heroin. My life's a mess. I'm going to go and see how many hundreds of bottles I can get out of Costco of alcohol. Can you have hundreds of bottles? Let me get drunk. Let me get high. Let me go find some more immorality. Let me go change sex. Let me go do something. Go do something to serve the world, to undo the destruction you've already done to your life, to make it only worse. You know how Jeremiah died? We don't know from the Bible. But if you just Google on how did Jeremiah die, and I've heard this many times before, but this is what comes up. Jeremiah probably died about 570 BC. Now, when did Jerusalem get destroyed? 586 BC. So 16 years. So Jeremiah told him shortly after it was destroyed, 586 BC, go find out from God what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stay here. Don't go to Egypt. Okay, Jeremiah, we're going to Egypt and you're going with us. And Jeremiah went with him 16 years. And it's probably right after Jeremiah 44 that this happens. According to tradition, that is preserved in extra-biblical sources, he was stoned to death by his exasperated fellow countrymen in Egypt. So he goes down to stay. And you know what, Nebuchadnezzar was really impressed with Jeremiah. And he told his general, he goes, whatever Jeremiah wants to do, if he wants to come to be in Babylon, we're going to take care of him till he dies. If he wants to stay with his people, he can stay with his people. And you know what Jeremiah said? I want to stay with the people. He could have had a cushy life, but I'm going to stay with these totally rebellious people, continue to minister to them until they stone them for telling them the truth. Verse 13, 11, 13, actually. For according to the number of their cities are your were your gods. You keep on burning incense to these gods. According to the number of cities, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars that to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal, which is what they would also sacrifice their children to. And then this is amazing. God telling Jeremiah, verse 14, so do not pray for this people. Or lift up a cry or a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. It's Jeremiah, you're not to pray for them because it's judgment's coming. You can warn them. I sent you to warn them, but it's you're praying against my will if you're going to say, God, have mercy on them and just continue to let them worship idols and let them get away with it. God's saying, yep, skip that part. I want you to warn them, but it's time to be done. And there's three times that God tells Jeremiah to stop praying for him. One is in chapter 7, 16, we've already read. This one, and then again in 14, 11, he tells him three times. And you know what I've told people, some of my peers actually, that I think the world's at the time where it's also, stop praying. God, bring revival to America. God, bring revival here and there. You know, I could be totally wrong. What I sense from reading Jeremiah is we're in that same, you know, Kevin, what all that's left is judgment. That there's no revival. There's no foundation for revival to occur. What I want you to do is revive on a person to person. All these nations, they're all conspiring. They're all doing all this stuff to bring this place down, and so that's what's going to happen because I'm letting them have the tribulation period that they so desperately want. But I want you to warn people and pray with somebody to get saved. That's our mission. I could be totally wrong, and so I'm not saying don't pray. I just have a hard time praying for God bless America or God, let there be revival. Look at what's happening. I mean, kids in Christian schools that are being allowed to wear a dress, and oh, that's okay. You're being affirmed by everything in the Christian school. It's like, and that's the church. And look at what's happening out in the world. They're just mutilating, and hospitals are raising surgeons to go make a bunch of money to destroy people's lives and mutilate them and stuff. And God sees all that. And I bet you my sensing is he's saying, Kevin, you know, that's the sign. This is the worst. I bet you they weren't doing that in the days of Noah. Verse 15, what has my beloved Israel to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many, many gods, many foreign nations, gods of foreign nations? And the holy flesh, what was holy is the flesh of the nation of Israel, my chosen people, has passed from you. When you do evil, then you rejoice. Does our culture rejoice at evil? Does it disdain righteousness, justice? The Lord called your name green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. For the Lord of hosts who planted you has pronounced doom against you. For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. So there again, when people offer incense and serve idols, they are destroying their souls. They're destroying their lives. And when people are deceived into believing these doctrines of demons about their own bodies, about, you know, religions, about, you know, mocking Jesus and everything else, it's to their own destruction. Jeremiah's life is threatened. Verse 18. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, that he was being threatened. And I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. Jeremiah is actually admitting his naivety when God said, Jeremiah, do you know that your hometown is plotting to kill you because they just don't even want to hear it anymore? Yeah. He might, and again, I'm just speculating here because it doesn't say. Jeremiah could say, what? Not pray for him anymore? I mean, these are my neighbors. This is my hometown. No, Jeremiah, don't you understand? They're trying to kill you. But O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the man of Anathoth. That's his hometown. That's a priestly city. He's, you know, Jeremiah is a Levite. He's a priest. And there were cities that were set apart within the nation of Israel for just priests. And Anathoth was one of them. And so it was his hometown. Who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die. They were saying, don't you even think about saying that women aren't supposed to be pastors. Going to our announcement time. You know, we'll fire you. That's what happened to a lady working in a Christian school that wouldn't recognize women pastors, and she goes, because that's what the Bible says. And it does say that. But for him, they were saying, don't tell us anything about the Word of God. Stop telling us the warnings of God. Stop reminding us about Deuteronomy, the blessings and the cursing. Stop all that or we're going to kill you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. You just told me to deal with them. I'm going to punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. So Anathoth was destroyed when the Babylonians came. And God brought the judgment on the very people that were going to kill their hometown prophet boy, Jeremiah, because he was teaching them the truth of the Word of God. Why? Because God called him as a youth and said, I want you to tell him. And Jeremiah says, I don't really want to do that. I'm not the best person. Nope, you're the guy. And I don't care how they look at you. I don't care how they treat you. I want you to warn them. And we're living in the same time. All we can do is warn of the impending judgment. And just beg people, as Jeremiah did, turn from your wicked way. Don't listen to the lies of this world. Get your life right with Jesus while there's still time. Because if you don't get your life right with Jesus, you will die and you will stand before God, guilty of everything you've ever done in violation of His law, and you will be spending the rest of your eternity in a lake of fire, separated from God, because you refuse the forgiveness that can only come through Jesus. Because your buddies thought you'd be, because you didn't want to offend your buddies, because you wanted to think that there's other gurus in the world, that other gods and other, salvation plans, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And you would rather listen to somebody that's in a grave rotting away than to listen to the one who is sitting on the throne of heaven next to the Father, waiting for the Father to tell him to come back and get us. So, that's our mission. Should you decide to accept it, you will be hated. You will be hated, but you will not be defeated because God owns your soul. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jeremiah. We thank you for the history that God, you, even the Jews, they misunderstood your mercy upon them, that while they were in sin, they were still being blessed by being able to have food to eat and clothes to wear in a city that was defended just like Americans today. How could there be a God that's offended because, look at us, we're able to still eat. And yet those days came to an end abruptly. And the very words of your prophet Jeremiah then came true. The judgment came upon their head. And the very prophet John, who is speaking of the days that are soon in front of us, that the world is ignoring and mocking, is going to come upon the unbeliever in the days shortly to come. And we pray that you would help us to be Jeremiah's to our generation, Lord, to help people to come to truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.
This is how we know.
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 This is how we know
what love is.
What love is.
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
laid down His life,
laid down His life
for us,
for us,
for us,
for us,
for us. This is how we know,
this is how we know,
this is how we know.
This is how we know.
This is how we know.
This is how we know
what love is.
What love is.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Laid down His life.
Laid down His life
for us.
For us.
For us.
For us.
For us.
One more time.
This is how we know.
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 This is how we know
what love is.
What love is.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Laid down His life.
Laid down His life
for us.
For us.
For us.
For us.
For us.
Amen. Been a long time since we've sang that song too. What a blessing. And that is how we know. He came and took our place in death so we could have life. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.